I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yeah, do you actually remember that money me hike? You don't like that recovery? Did you like that recovery?
Well, Luke.
Smooth. Smooth.
No, I don't remember.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Lixie's a muddled up, mixed up bunny.
Feral,
that's a feral's for ya.
Feral's,
don't mess with the feral's. The feral's, they're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Mike
and Swinny Costello.
This is episode 4, Home Truths. We're going to have a bulk of listeners to the show, given that, you know, the very exciting first season opener episode of the season 2, and now they're going to be confused by who's who, who's Mike and who's Swinny.
Excellent.
Okay, so this episode opens to the ferals who are locked out of the shed. Now, Mike,
yes.
What is exciting about this factor that the ferals are locked out of the shed?
The fact that I watched the episode for once. I'm so excited. I just want to talk about it.
I'll tell you what it is.
It's because for once, what we thought was continuity planning actually was continuity planning. It went from one episode to the next, and it made sense. It's like, oh, wow, like they're referencing a previous episode straight away. This is so good.
Yes, I agree.
What do you get out of it?
I think, like, Swinny, have there been any other times where they've referenced old episodes?
The only other time that I can remember is when Mixie said, "That's like the time I got hit in the head." Which was
There's been a couple of odd references.
Like a tiny rep, but this is a full-on continuation of the previous episode.
It's almost proper like...
this is almost a double episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost like you could combine the two and make a Ferals feature movie out of it.
Like one of those Transformer toys you could, like, stick together and get a Super Transformer.
Yeah, like Voltron.
Yeah.
Voltron. I love Voltron.
Or Captain Planet.
Actually, I never thought about that. But do you know what we could actually do? We could actually edit scenes from the episodes and reconstruct our own episode.
Oh, yeah.
And dub
cool
and
shit.
I just thought of that then.
And dub them over, like, C-Lab 2021.
Yeah. That's right. That would actually be pretty funny. Need to write that down. Okay, so, as Swinny was saying, it could be a feature-length film. I think that would be quite a short 50-minute feature-length film.
Okay, wait. Let's give it a title. I'll call it The Ferals Apartment Disco.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good name, Mike, which in no way spoils this
Euro,
episode.
How about this? Euro Trash Disco.
Oh.
Do you get it?
Where's the Euro from?
Yeah. What's that? No, because it's the... Okay, we're already actually...
Totally off track.
Describing the end of the episode. But the disco, they look like Euro Trash, don't you think?
Okay.
They do.
So, and like plus the trash, like the German, place has been ruined.
Like a German sparkle party.
What?
Yeah, but the place is trashed. So Euro Trash disco.
I get the reference. Yeah. It's good. Okay.
Mike, what would you call it?
I got nothing.
That noise was like
And I'd love someone who's like subtitling this episode, inaudible noises. okay, so yeah, we have the ferals who are locked out of the shed. The reason is because in episode 3, they basically destroyed Lenny and Robbie's shed. The other thing that we discovered...
Well, it was completely dirty.
Flat.
In their living conditions, so it was more like a shed. I agree.
Yeah. So now they're going to stay at Joe's place, and they start talking about this landlord. So it actually makes it clear in these scenes that Joe does not own their place.
Correct. Because we were speculating as to whether that was the case or not. And when I saw this, I'm like, aha, finally. And the truth shall set you free.
Exactly. So the ferals are now going to plan to live in the destroyed apartment. And they're talking about how stupid Robbie and Lenny are for the fact that they don't realize they're in the apartment while Robbie and Lenny are collecting their stuff to move to Joe's apartment. I think one important little mention here that comes up right at the end of the episode is the fact that Lenny is working on an invention in the tip. And he's, like, thrown it out into the tip.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice that at the start of the episode?
Yeah.
Ah, see, I remember him saying that, but I didn't click that that was what shows up later.
God, aren't you guys watching the episode?
Jeez. Well, I just mentioned it, so I'm not sure why you use the
plural
guys.
Mike actually watches an episode closely for once, and now he's coming from a high horse. Didn't you watch the episode? Shame on you.
You peasant.
After our shaming of him last week, that was quite enjoyable, actually. And also, Lenny just noticed a haircut. But, I mean, isn't... Because Robbie just came back at the end of the last episode, right?
Yes, with the
new
haircut.
So, it's not that strange that he just noticed it, I don't think.
No, I think let's assume that this is the next day.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it has to be the next day.
He's been through a very traumatic experience, Lenny. He's actually come up from it pretty good, considering he was... He had snapped last episode, so...
That's probably the only continuity that didn't really continue.
It's true. If you watch these two episodes back to back, it would just not make any sense, because he was like, he's totally mellow in this episode.
Had a good night's sleep.
He had a... he relaxed.
In the damaged apartment.
because...
He let off some steam.
Where are they going
now? He was thinking
about
Robbie... What?
Where are they going now?
Well, they're now at Joe's place.
That's right. That's where he had the good sleep.
And then when they were talking about Joe's place, did you notice how Joe let Robbie have his bed?
Yep.
I like how Robbie said maybe he's had a personality reconstruction. And my reaction to that was, doesn't Joe have a personality reconstruction every single episode? It seems like it.
That's what I thought as well. I mean, even the way that Lenny and Robbie are acting. Now, I'm not really clear. I can't remember. Who locked the ferals out of the shed? Was it Robbie and Lenny or Joe?
I don't know if it's mentioned. I think it's just mentioned that they're locked out. I think it was Joe. I think it was Joe because he's pissed that they screwed up their house.
But then the thing I don't understand is that Robbie and Lenny also agree not to let them back in, remember? And they're like, oh, here's the money. And it's like, nah, you're not going to... That's not enough money to fix our flat. So, you're just still going to be locked out.
Well, I guess they're just pissed.
It was likely a collective arrangement. I think all three of them probably decided to say, screw the ferals. We're going to lock them up until they pay.
Yeah.
So,
we'll lock them out. So, okay, that's the thing we haven't made explicitly clear. They're locked out of the shed and they've got nowhere to go. And the human characters don't care. They're like, whatever. You're feral animals. You can figure it out. Was there anything else about the whole Lenny and Robbie staying at Joe's place that you guys noticed?
I'll just say, in this scene again, did you notice it this episode about those neon lights? The pink-purple neon lights?
Oh, no, still didn't
again,
notice.
Still! I'm like, surely Monkey Boy's going to see it this episode.
No, I think the lighting is really strange, but I probably don't notice it. It just looks really weird.
Okay, I'm going to have to actually take screenshots and show it to you next episode. Because if they've got it a third time and don't notice it, that's it. I'm quitting the podcast.
So when Robbie and Lenny are coming in to Joe's place, so there's another scene with the ferals later where they're trying to figure out where they're going to stay. But I wanted to sort of speak about how Lenny and Robbie are coming in, and we see Joe watching TV. And there's an ad that's on the TV. Do you remember what the ad is, Mike?
Yep, for anti-fat cat pills for the pudgy pussy.
I was just like,
that was the ad.
These guys, I know. I know, they're taking the piss.
I see what they're doing here.
Joe just Joe snickers at it and then turns it off. He turned it off like he didn't want them to know what he was watching when they walked in. He's like, "Whoa, turned it off."
I agree. They just walked in and heard the last few words, pudgy pussy, and then he's like, well,
turn that off.
Now, okay, if I asked you guys before this episode, is Joe a clean freak or is he just like a pretty cruisy guy? What would you say?
Oh, I would have said he's a cruisy guy. Yeah, I didn't think he'd be this pedantic.
I would have thought that he was... Look, I don't think even in this episode he's a clean freak. I think he's clean. I think there's a difference to saying someone goes overboard.
Yes.
I think that he would have been clean. No, he...
Well, he goes...
He's pretty reasonable.
He actually said, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. I was like, whoa.
It's quoting like a Radiohead.
It's a good quote, actually.
Yeah, no, it is. I like when he... Because he comes up with this roster for everyone to do work. Did you guys notice... Because they never really actually... I was hoping they would talk about the roster. Like, who has to do what and all that stuff. They never did.
No.
But did you see visually the tasks? Because it was sort of every single day was going vertically and horizontally it was like the people. So Lenny, Robbie and Joe. Joe was on the far right. Did you guys visually see how much work everyone had to do?
Did Lenny have the most? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It was Lenny and Robbie. They had a lot each. And then Joe had this one little line. And I love how... It's pretty good, actually, how they do this, but then they never actually talk about it. So, it's this kind of little touch in the show that's kind of funny. Like, and it's probably you don't notice it, but I like those little things that they do. It's made me laugh.
That's a really cool little touch, yeah.
Now, did you catch Joe when he's talking about the landlord? Him being the landlord of his place?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
My place, you live, me landlord.
Well, that's when like we finally 100% know that Joe does not own the flat. That there's another landlord and he's a landlord and all that kind of stuff. And also that the landlord, this is the scene where we find out that the landlord for Robbie and Lenny is really evil. And, oh, yeah, it was in the scene, actually, where Joe's like, oh, I'll go talk to him. I'm a landlord. He's a landlord. We can work it out. I'll, you know, go have a chat to him.
Wait, can I just ask, are you technically a landlord just because you own property?
No, I think you have to rent it out to someone.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I've never been a landlord, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, you have to rent it out to someone, but that's actually a good point. How is he a landlord? Never thought about that.
Well, because he's technically renting his place to them two now.
No, he's not, because they're not paying rent. So
he's not, you're right, yeah. There's no, he's trying to get rent out of them, but it's...
Or is he saying that because the ferals are in the shed? That
maybe.
He's the landlord.
Maybe. Or maybe he's saying that because he's just about everything under the sun, including a promoter and God, what else was
it? You know what would clear this up? We've got to go read the Feral Tenant Act.
Yes. Of 1907.
Yeah, okay. Unless he owns another place somewhere. Interesting. So then, Joe suggests that he's going to go talk to the landlord. He walks away. And then, I don't know, is it meant to be like almost instantaneously that he comes back? Because you have the whole little screen wipe that shows that something's happening and he's come back, but... I don't know. They're like Robbie and Lenny were wearing the exact same clothes. They're almost in the exact same position.
It was supposed to be one of those humorous instant cuts where it fast tracks.
Yeah.
A long period of time.
So Joe goes off, talks to the landlord, comes back and he's all bashed and he's got like a black eye and stuff. He's like, yeah, that landlord's not a reasonable guy. I thought that was pretty funny.
I'm seeing an undertone here that the writers really hate renting and hate landlords.
they hate any authority figures, don't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like a Pink Floyd style thing where they're just like the most evil characters. They've got no humanity at all. Because we also had the guy who owned the pinball machine, remember? He was like pretty evil.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same type of vibe. So anyway, so yeah, Lenny and Robbie are going to stay at Joe's place. Now we see the Ferrells trying to work out where they can stay. And I guess the whole key part here is that they might have to split up if they can't find a place to stay. So Darren suggests they stay with his uncle, who's a dingo. And they're like, we can't do that because we're, you know, feral animals. And then they end up, like, living in a box. Now, did you guys see Keith and Kylie? This is the first time we see them in the episode.
They were finally so nicely dressed. It was awesome.
They were assholes, though.
I wrote down Keith and fake Kylie walk past and make an address.
I know, this new Kylie, the voice, it just throws me big time.
Not doing it for me.
But I don't know, do you think like the first one was better than the second one? So, I mean, let's just reiterate. So, the actor, as Mel said, the actor for Kylie in the first season left the show, and then they got a new person on. Now, the way he said it, it sounded like that potentially they thought they needed a new voice actor to reinvigorate the role or something like that. That's kind of how I remember it. Is that how you guys remember it?
I don't remember anything.
I think you're imagining it.
All the drugs and alcohol.
No, we spoke about it to him, because I said about the fact that Raddus isn't in a couple of episodes, and he goes, no, that's not the case. He's in every episode.
Sorry,
then
man.
We start speaking about Kylie.
All the drugs get to my memory.
Yep. Ditto.
But yeah, look, I actually think, now, I don't, you know, maybe we shouldn't say this, because if we actually get Kylie, one of the voice actors on the show, it wouldn't be good, but I don't know. I think the first season one was a little bit better than the second season one so far.
I think you go, Swinney.
Okay, sorry, Mike. I think we should get both of them on here, and we should have some sort of a fight.
A Kylie off.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure my, you know, sticky taped solution to get, you know, people to be able to record multiple things, I don't think it's going to work with that many people.
Should we name fake Kylie Danny?
Well, I mean, the real Kylie is like, she's had some work done, so maybe we should say Plastic Kylie.
Plastic Kylie. But,
No, it's a bit hard to
say. That's like RoboCop, Prime Directive.
Or Kylie, yeah.
Where we called her Plastic Cop. And Muggy Boy and sat there for hours, or not hours, but maybe like the entirety of the thing, dubbing over Plastic Cop and RoboCop as they... RoboCop.
RoboCop. Yeah, that was crazy. I remember doing that, actually. I think we had it on mute, and we dubbed the entire movie.
Yeah.
And we thought it was hilarious.
You're also quite like high this podcast, at the time,
we think it's hilarious. Okay. So, yes, fake Kylie. Did you guys think they were assholes, the way that they were treating the Ferrells?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they were much more than usual. I think it was par for the course.
Okay. So, now we have the Ferrells, and they're like, shit, we've got to get some money. And they, you know, decide to do what they do best, which is lie and cheat and steal, basically.
Yep.
And eat lots of bones, as Darren pointed out. So then we see a series of scenes of them trying to rip off people, basically. So they're trying to sell mud biscuits? Was it mud biscuits?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was mud biscuits.
So fake Kylie,
was like, oh, this is a joke. These are mud biscuits. And then we see Mixie selling them to Joe, and Joe, you know, happily obliging. Now, Swinney, what did Joe look like? What did his face look like?
Why am I the person always discussing the fact that something looks like shit?
Well, I described it as Joe's mouth looks like a special German film. How about you, Mike? You describe what now? Joe looked like.
Is that what you've resorted to? Nothing else gets you off. Jesus.
One of my favorite lines in this episode got cut off because of a weird transition in this scene. So Joe goes, I'm not falling for the same trick twice. And Moddy says, why not? You usually do. But they started to transition out when she said it. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it was like a real weird, awkward cut. I don't know if it was the VHS or not.
No, it seemed... Well, there was that later on in the version I watched, but It seems that episode two, I don't know if they got a different person editing, but it's, or they edited it for like, to throw, I don't know, because it's ABC. ABC didn't have commercials. So what are they editing transitions for? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point. It was a real awkward transition.
Unless they were doing the transitions for overseas markets.
Yes, so. Quite possibly.
Yeah, but I think BBC, that doesn't have ads either, does it?
I don't remember it having ads, no.
We had to pay the TV license.
Oh, yeah, because you lived there for a while, didn't you, Mike?
This is a massive, like, diversion, but this is one of my favourite stories ever. That's how sad I am. You know how they have the TV? So, they have the... You can take it, Swinny, about the TV licences and what you did to try to avoid paying.
Well, we had...
And set the scene, because people in Australia don't have this.
We only had one TV, so for us it was pretty simple. You know, we just had to pay the one license. But I used to know, like, a friend of mine... They had about seven TVs in the house.
This is in Britain.
And they had seven TVs in the house for some reason. And what they would do is when they knew that, they have inspectors that used to go around. I don't know if they still bother. And they actually used to come and have a look. And they would actually hide and, like, send the TVs, like, out of the house so they didn't have to pay the license.
Well, because it was like a TV license tax in the UK.
Really? Yeah. Swinny is like great at telling stories, and this is like the worst you've ever told a story. This is in the UK.
I know.
They have a TV tax that you get charged per household per TV to fund the BBC. That's how they fund the BBC, through this TV tax. And this is when you were living over there and what your friends used to do to avoid having to pay for it in very Ferrells-like fashion.
I'm not giving you anything more after that statement. You can finish the story off yourself.
I'll continue your own story then. I'll continue.
Well, you just threw, I remember you telling me this. By the way, you threw me into that with not expecting to have to recall something that was, I don't know, 22 years ago.
I feel like I remember your stories better than you remember your stories.
Fair point.
Do you remember the story about the tomato sauce and you pretending like you're dead and your mum discovering you? It's like you didn't even remember that.
He doesn't even remember it now that we brought it up a few episodes ago.
Move on. Come on.
All right. So I'm going to say the bit that always made me laugh, that one of your friends, they put a keyboard in front of one of the TVs and said that it was a computer. To avoid paying the tax.
I did not remember that.
Oh, there you go. I remember it because I'm like, that's genius.
By the way, are you sure that was me that said that? I do not remember that.
Oh, 100%. I didn't even know about this. And no one's ever said about it until recently. Okay. Supposedly what they do these days, they have like some device that they reckon they can detect the signal of the TVs.
Wait, hang on. In 2015, they still have this rule?
Supposedly, yeah. What? But I think you meant to self-report it.
Mike, it funds the BBC. It's actually a pretty good idea when you think about it, so...
Not really.
Not really.
Just direct tax on it.
Yeah, it's much more efficient.
Well, it's double tax, because they get tax on selling it already.
I agree that there's probably a better way to do it, but I think that there's... If you have a national broadcaster, you know, obviously people pay
for it.
Yeah, obviously the ABC is paid by taxpayer money as well, but... Well,
that's double dipping. You're already paying through taxpayers' money. You're already paying through taxes that the TV gets when it sells via the retailer. It's like triple dipping for the same thing. It's bullshit.
Yes, Donald Trump. Look at the resident Republican on the show.
No, I just think it's like, what? How many more taxes can you have on people? Jesus. You're taxing
you
them. You're taxing them for GST. You're taxing Mexico as well. No, I'm just saying you can't. Like, that's how many more taxes does this bullshit system need to have? It's ridiculous taxing someone for having a TV. What? You should be able to have whatever you want in your house without getting taxed on it.
What do you think if they had one tax, like a 25% tax GST, but no other taxes at all?
I don't know. I'm not going to get into the whole taxing because it's a complicated discussion that I don't know enough about.
You're just getting into
it. I just think
it.
You can't, like, taxing someone for having an item in their house. How can you tax someone for their own personal private space and what they do with it?
Technically,
what
it's
is
not
this,
a
communism?
Tax. Technically, it's not a tax.
Well, what is it?
Communism.
A license.
Oh, come on, please. It's the same shit.
But there's licenses. You have to pay a license for your driver's license. You've already set the test.
Yeah, but that's... It's like you saying, okay, I need to pay a license for just having a car in my garage.
By the way, what? Mike, you know that you have to do it.
You do. What are you talking about?
No, you don't. I can have a car in my garage, never drive it, and I don't have to get a license for it. I don't have to register the car. I don't have to do anything with it as long as I don't drive
it. But you can't drive it.
It doesn't matter.
Well, then you can't do anything with it.
Well, maybe their TV sits in the house because I plug it into my PC and that's it. Maybe it sits there because I just watch DVDs on it, not BBC shit, is what I'm trying to say.
We're way off topic. Let's get back to the
first. Okay.
Britain, your system sucks. And you people in Britain should revolt to stop paying taxes for TVs.
By the way, Mike, you know you need to take a test to get the license.
What? You need to take a test to get a license to have a TV in your house?
No, go on. Let's keep going.
You got to operate the remote with both hands just to check. Okay, well, yeah, we're way off course. So now back to the different schemes that the Ferrells are using to try to get money. Do we want to dive into this clip, Swinney?
Yeah.
Of this exchange? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I've got it here.
Hey, Deezer. What you doing?
I need some money, Keith.
Huh?
I need some money, Keith.
I need some money, Keith.
What? Speak up, you moron.
Speak up, you moron.
What? No, you idiot, speak louder.
No, you idiot, speak louder.
What? I blame myself. I'm gonna be a CNI dog and I need a donation.
I'm gonna be a seeing eye duck and I need a Dalmatian.
CNI dog. Dog!
Seeing eye dog. Dog.
But you aren't the dog. You're the one that's supposed to be able to see.
Everybody's an expert.
It's okay, Keith. I'm not really blind.
No, but you're really dumb.
Check his pocket, see if he's got any money.
Better be stealing.
He'll just be making a donation.
Keith's not a Dalmatian.
Why do I bother?
I was in tears. Okay, so the setup is that Darren is talking to Keith and he's got, like, Stevie Wonder type glasses on, indicating that he's blind, trying to get money from Keith. Keith falls out of the tree at the end of that scene. And the bit where Raddus, you can see the puppet, he kicks Keith to just check if he's, like, alive or if he's incapacitated, and then robs him!
He walks over and kicks him in the ribs, like, punts him in the ribs.
Man, honestly, that little scene there, that's one of my favourite scenes of this whole show. I'm like, this is effed up. Like, they go and rob the body of a guy who falls out of a tree. Like, I actually was trying to think of shows that I've seen that happen. It's not actually a common thing, right? It's, like, so violent. And you know what I was thinking? That show from... that's a spin-off from Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Because that happens in Better Call Saul. Spoiler alert, by the way. But, that was awesome. That was really good.
And the reason I want you to play that clip is because I sat there and wrote it all down, like, typed it up.
Oh, really?
And because it was just so funny, it was like, Keith's reaction, what? What? What?
What?
What? And I'm like, my girl, let's get Monkey Boy to play the clip.
Yeah, no, that's one of the best scenes. That actually, like, because this episode, the way it was chugging along, I was like, that's okay. But that one scene, like, elevated it automatically for me. Because I was just, I don't know, it just made me laugh so much. Okay, so now we've got Robbie and Lenny, who are stressing out about their landlord coming, and that Joe has lost his phone again.
Hey, now lost his phone. It was already established. It was. Yeah. Go.
No, it wasn't established.
It wasn't yet. Yeah, we'll find out soon what happened to it. Dun, dun,
dun. But what I was going to say was, wasn't it the last episode where his phone went missing? It was last week, wasn't it? Because they made that racist call.
Ah, yes, the racist call.
Yeah, and it was the exact... That was so bad.
We go from talking about how the Ferrells just robbed someone who's unconscious to the racist call.
I know, it made you remember it, though. So it's pretty accurate. But that was just, like, in this whole universe, because these are linked, these episodes. So it would have been, like, the day before his phone went missing, and now the next day his phone's gone missing again.
Pretty much.
But anyway, pretty much. So, based on Joe talking to the landlord, now the landlord is going to have a surprise inspection. Now, I didn't really understand how it's a surprise inspection if the landlord planned. Told them. Yeah, I know.
Hey, just sorry to interject quickly. Did I ever tell you the story? And again, I have a bad memory. Did I ever tell you the story about what happened in when I was renting once with the bug on the wall?
Go on.
Okay, is this where you sprayed it?
Yes.
And you turn... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have.
We talked about it because we'll talk about the cock... Look, this is how long we've been doing this podcast now, that we're actually repeating so personal stories about a cockroach.
Well, can you find that one and just copy and paste it here? So
no.
People just can hear it again.
Paste the highlight.
Copy and paste it. just cut into a highlight.
Cut it in. Do a shit BBC edit and then charge people some tax. God damn it, Britain.
God. Okay. So, we also have Moddy here who's kind of like begging... No. She's saying that the ferals are all squished by... Do you remember what it was? A concrete truck?
He's like, the big...
It's like cement
the
truck.
The big cement truck. They're little bodies.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny.
It was good.
But did you hear the little bit that she said right at the end of that scene, Swinny?
I can't remember what
she
it was.
She said...
What did she say?
She said, I could find it, but she said something like, I'm cheap.
Oh, I think yes, I got it. She did say that. Try it.
This way.
And it turns out she is.
Which might take away the pain of my broken heart. You wouldn't be interested in hiring a nice, fluffy cat bath mat, would you? I'm cheap.
She is cheap.
That's so wrong.
She's very cheap. We'll find out.
Okay. By the
Mel
way...
Mel does such a good voice. Oh, it's really good.
Episode 6, Happy Birthday. The 27-minute mark is when we talk about cockroach spitting in cockroach spat in my quick. Eye. No, it's because
that's right.
I've got the highlights.
That's right. That's why. That's right. Because, I was talking about had a cockroach spat in her eye, because Moddy said that.
Yeah.
Moddy said
so if anybody wants to hear Mike's story about his cockroach that caused him a massive bill, I think it was, wasn't it?
No, it turned out to be pretty good, actually.
Mm. Anyway,
maybe
let's
because I ended up saving the fight, I didn't kill it. The cockroach gods looked down at me.
Now we have the ferals they're all trying to collect money so that they can renovate their Robbie and Lenny's apartment that they've destroyed. So they made $30 from Mixie's Mud Biscuits, $45 from the Dumb Dogs for the Blind, and then we hear that Radis has sold the mobile phone for $75. Now that is a massive bargain for a mobile phone back in those days.
Oh yeah.
Like, they were like $1,500. And that was way more money back then as well.
Would you buy a secondhand mobile phone off a rat?
Ah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, why not?
In sunshine.
Looks like a reputable rat.
Looks like just a normal rat. Citizen in sunshine.
Yeah. No, in this dude, when I was back home and walking through the marketplace, and there were all, like, the vendors on the side of the roads, man, that looked so povo, bro. That looked like a third world country. It was pretty bad.
Anyway,
you know how they do I don't even know what they call it now, the market. The outdoor market stuff now.
Look, it's. I got to say they're doing a lot of good stuff. But let's not waste time on that.
Wait. The clothes, like I said, the clothes look like they're from GTA 4.
Hey, Nico.
In this scene,
it's your cousin.
Hey, Nico, the clothes are shit. These look like from the old country.
Hey,
they are.
You want
Nico.
Some tracksuit pants? Have the latest Adidas one. Only two stripes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In this part where...
So, what are you going to say, Swinny?
Moddy's crying now.
Oh.
And
oh.
Radis says, pity you're not worth your weight in gold. Oh. And it made me think...
Like, okay.
The puppets do not... She does not... Her puppet does not look fat.
No, okay. No. It's just this horrible running joke. Because she cares so much about
Radis
look.
Looks fat, though. Radis looks fat. And Mixie, like, when you see a full body shot of Radis, he looks fucking huge.
Yeah, Mixie and Radis really? Both have, like, really large bodies and small legs.
I think they all kind of do to some extent. I think the point is she's a cat. She's got a shit ton of fur. That just makes her look, you know, normally proportioned.
but they were just laying the boot into her. So all of the rest of them made money, apart from Moddy. She didn't make any money. And they were just like, all right, we're going to kick you out. You're going to make some money or else piss off, whatever. So then we see the next scene with the Ferals giving the money that they have to Robbie and Lenny and saying, oh, how good is this? You know, we can pay off the renovations. And then Moddy comes in and had like $1,000. Was it like $1,000?
Yes, $1,000.
Yeah.
And she says... $1,000.
And then they're all like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, go on. Where did you get that from? She says, believe me, you'll never ever know. Now, we'll get into something later on, but you'll never ever know? That sounds like, you know, someone has done something that, you know, is pretty in secret and private. No one will ever find out. We'll wonder what's actually happened. So, when we get to it, we'll talk about it.
I like the build-up for all of that. I mean, and let's just remind ourselves that we just heard her say...
Be interested in hiring a nice, fluffy cat bath mat, would you?
Ouch!
I'm cheap!
I know. When she said... You know, when they had $1,000, I'm like, what are they implying here? This is, like, insane. So, yeah, no, I'm glad we find out at the end of what she did.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mike knows, actually. Did you watch the whole episode, Mike?
Yeah.
Do you watch the credits this
time? So, you know...
This time?
I watched parts of the credits, yeah. Yeah, so I know what... Yeah,
did you watch
the
end of the credits?
Yeah. I know the surprise, yeah. I've been talking about this already.
Okay.
Dropping in some hints.
Okay. Alright.
Are you really? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
She's on the TV.
Alright.
But I won't say the
rest. So they need $3,000 to get the shed fixed. And this is where Mixie suggests a party. And of course, again, Radis and Moddy are just like, that's a stupid idea, forget about it. And then they all split up. And at this part, it was almost like, you know, does Radis care about them or not? And when they finally walked away, he burst out into tears, which, you know, was quite funny. Yeah. Made me laugh. What's next? Okay, so we have Robbie and Lenny. They're still stressed. Their storyline's so boring, right? It's just that they're stressed about this landlord coming.
I don't think it's...
And they're just, like, every scene that you see them, they're just stressed about the landlord.
I don't think it's boring. It's just there's not much to explain. So, and they probably just over-explain it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, Joe is funny in the way he acts, like, in these scenes. But I just think Robbie and Lenny, it's like, it's okay. There's a few funny,
I'll tell you what, I'd be so well-written pissed if I was Joe, if people were staying in my place for free, and they were just treating it like a dump.
Well, but he did let the Ferals stay at their place. So, I can see both sides.
Yeah, but they're not doing it because of that. They're just doing it because they're lazy.
That's true. He does, yeah, but I just started to think that he's like a real clean freak. But anyway.
It's relative, so, I think. I think it's one of those things where if someone's ever so slightly messier than you, you begin to try harder to be clean. And all of a sudden, little things that normally wouldn't bug you do bug you. I experienced that before when living with people.
Until I killed them.
Yes.
Okay.
The cockroach.
So now we have the Ferals. They're all split up and they're living in the dump, in the tip. And as they were going through the tip, Radis discovers Lenny's invention. This is like bizarro stereo. Moddy discovers a cash register, which is so weird. Like, do you really need a cash register to have a party?
Well,
you don't need a cash register.
With the amount that they apparently bring in, I guess they do.
Yeah, that's true. And then Darren discovers a disco ball. And this disco ball just, like, comes down from the sky.
There's this, like, alien-like noise, and it lowers down from top of the screen. It's awesome. I love it.
I actually really like
that. And by the way, they all had a light bulb, like, ideas every time they found the items.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a candle instead of a light bulb.
I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
Which is great.
That was a really cool touch.
And then we have like Mixie. She finds like some cups, I think.
It's like, go away.
I know. So, yeah, they all, you know, come across the same idea that they're going to have a disco. Now, like, was it still called discos back then? Was it, like, a dance club? This is, like, 20 years ago. Maybe it was still called a disco.
90s?
Do you guys remember growing up?
I think they only tend to call them discos when they're, like, underage things or things run by schools and stuff. Yeah. I don't think they... It's like, you know, if you're having a school disco, you're not going to call, like, a school... Well, I guess you could say dance party. School
club.
A dance party, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, I think...
Maybe it's just because when we were growing up, there were, like, people from the 70s who were running the school.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have called it a disco. So, I don't know. That's good the only point. Thing that good I can point. Think. Anyway, so they've got this disco. It's quite funny, actually. Like, they're all... Because there was, like, a whole bunch of different animals. And I'm like, where are they getting these other feral animals from? Like, I'm talking about the puppets.
Yeah.
Because they're quite elaborate, some of them.
They probably only had the heads. They're just moving on sticks.
No, I don't think so. You could see the bodies.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. There must be some other ABC show that they were getting these puppets from. There's no way that they're going to just get all these puppets for just this one episode. It's crazy. But anyway, it is actually pretty funny. Like, there's a bunch of different puppets and... A bunch of different animals, I should say.
Now, Mike, here's a test to see if you paid attention to the episode. What was the place called?
Oh, I actually paid attention. I remember watching it going, what the hell is this place called? And then I didn't write it down and I forgot. But I remember consciously going, what is this place called? Because I was trying to make it out because there were people in the way of the logo a few times. Okay. But unfortunately, I didn't write it down, so...
All right, the place was called The Dive.
That's it.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice
the start
that.
Of the I remember scene, the scene, it had it focused on the... Like, it had a sign in, like, front and center of the scene, so...
Okay. No, I just wrote some crazy notes. I wrote that Lenny is now evil, but I don't remember that. Like, why did I write
evil?
That?
Yeah.
He wasn't evil in this episode.
He was or wasn't?
He wasn't.
No.
Then why don't I write, Lenny is now evil? So bizarre. I just wrote this note, Lenny is evil.
That's very strange.
I don't know. No, because he came in and he was acting like a douchebag.
Yeah, because
like, you're not going
to
make enough money.
The landlord's
about
to rock up and they're holding a disco. He's pissed off. He wasn't evil. Like, evil's a strong word.
Okay, true. I know.
It's like he starts, he's got a pentagram on his forehead or something.
Oh, did you guys notice when they opened the cash register, the old school Australian money in there?
No, I didn't pick up on that.
I noticed the money, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, do you actually remember that money, me, Hike? Did you like that recovery? Did you like that recovery?
Well, Luke.
Smooth. Smooth.
Jones? No, I don't remember.
Smooth.
I think no. See, I don't know, because back then, as a kid, there's no way I would have seen those notes anyway. It was all like pocket changing coins and shit. That's it.
Oh, we're way off the track now. Okay. So we have Joe coming in, who's been all ripped up from Darren because what was it? The Radis said, "Don't let anyone in."
I'm surprised.
I think Radis said that. Don't let anyone in. How does that make sense? Is this disco?
Yeah.
No. Don't let anyone in you don't like. That's what.
Oh, is that what he said? Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. I thought Darren liked Joe.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's, I said what I said.
I will say there was a bit of fan service for the ladies with Joe. You know, his shirt
yes.
ripped.
Yeah,
and I reckon that shirt
was
very fashionable.
I reckon it'd be
fashion. I typed
awesome.
Fan service for the ladies and Mike.
Yes. Oh, I saw a bit of nipple there. Exciting stuff.
But he's also got some pecs and
he's
everything.
Got some pecs,
he's a pretty fit guy.
Yeah.
Which let's remember though.
I'm not even gay.
Let's remember society. I'm not even gay. A little bit. Society is really different these days with people going to gym and everything like that. 20 years ago, like back in the early 90s, it wasn't as common that people would get, you know, pumped up or what do you call it? Pumped
but
up.
But I think people weren't as fat back then either.
Yeah, good point.
So
yeah,
they're probably point. More probably didn't average have looking people, so to speak. And by average, I don't mean the average we have today, which is pretty high. It wasn't so much food, it's just high. People didn't eat as much shit.
What do you mean high?
The average now is high. Like, people are, on average, quite fat.
I think you meant to use the word large, not high.
That was in a high
percentage. I don't think you can describe high as in...
No, you're right. You're right. Sorry, I meant to say high percentage of fat. Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, in this scene, anyway. When Mixie offers... I think it's Mixie offers drinks to fake Kylie and Keith. And Keith turns it down and he's like, got any gummies?
No, he didn't. Did he say that?
Yeah, he said, got any gummies?
Keith.
I didn't notice
you
that.
You didn't notice.
How did I not notice
Keith
that?
Saying, got any like gummies?
Wait, I think I've got it. Do you want me to try to play?
Yeah, all right. No, it's before then. It's actually before Salah coming in. It. It's before Joe's rip shirt.
Oh, okay. Because I'm just focusing on that bit. Oh, yeah, the dive. Yeah, I see this now. I don't know. Maybe I can't find it. Anyway.
All right, anyway.
Okay, well, that's good timing, though, on the landlord coming. Like, okay, I've been to a few parties like that. There's no way that you would care whoever comes. It's almost funny if you know, the cops show up.
No,
I think... Or the landlord comes or whatever.
This told me that everyone there kind of knew this landlord and they're all scared of him. That's what I think it was.
Oh.
That's what I took away from it anyway. Because everyone's okay. Like, oh my god, the landlord. So.
Mm. I also wrote a note, the landlord is evil. anyway. So now we find out, you know, so Lenny's invention. And you know how he's thrown out the invention? He spoke earlier in the episode, threw out this invention. It's the stupidest reason. He goes, because there's no off switch to... to the stereo.
It was a and that if it was a heavy metal amplifier.
Yeah, that's right. And? A special amplifier that can amplify heavy metal music.
Maybe maybe Lenny is a little evil. A little evil after all. You know, he's listening to satanic heavy metal, death metal. You know, some Lenny. Norwegian stuff.
Lenny. Yeah, no, true.
Lenny, I guess Opeth. Lenny sounds like a Norwegian name. See,
Leonard. Anyway, he says that you can't, there's no off switch, and that if you cross certain wires, that it will blow up stereo. So effectively, there's a bomb.
Didn't he say why is it going to blow up, by the way? Premature critical mass, or did he say that later?
He says some wacky stuff.
No, he said it's going to reach premature critical mass.
Self-diode. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you guys if you've ever had problems reaching premature critical mass.
Can you say premature more, please?
Premature. Premature.
When you say that, have we ever had trouble reaching that? It sounds like you're trying to reach premature critical mass. Have you ever had any trouble in reaching? You know that's not what you want to do, right? I think that's where you've been going wrong.
Well, you know, sometimes you just
want to
hit it and quit it. It's like that.
Oh, God. Anyway, so what do we have? We have, in this scene, Joe... Was this the part where Joe starts to go, we need a cool pair of hands?
Yeah, so basically, they're trying to shut off the amplifier, whatever, the stereo, before the landlord gets there. By the way, the landlord is walking foreboding. You don't see his head. You just see, pretty much just see his crotch in this scene. And
and it's awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool, and he keeps punching the ferals in the face as they try to stop him, and he's like just smacking him in the face. This guy's
they're all
really flawed.
They're all tagging in and tagging out like a wrestling match, all going one by one to try to stop the landlord from coming in.
Mm.
And I love when Moddy goes, and then he just punches her square in the face, and she's got a wig on. And when she comes back, the wig is all misplaced. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't.
It's like she's been punched in the head, so the wig's moved. I thought that was pretty funny. It made me chuckle. But, the landlord's crazy, right? And then he finally comes in, and Joe, who has successfully cut the wires without touching them, puts the wires behind his back and then touches them.
Yes.
And causes the heavy metal amplifier, the digital heavy metal amplifier, to blow up. And, okay, so Mike, given that you've watched this episode, do you remember how their reaction to the landlord being in hospital for months?
pretty overjoyed. Was that the pretty wrong what? Answer? I thought they were pretty overjoyed.
What did you say?
Overjoyed.
Oh, yeah, pretty overjoyed. Yeah, they were super happy. It's terrible.
Totally terrible.
They're like so happy this landlord.
But I mean, he was an asshole though, so.
No, okay, we've got to explain it a bit
That's
better.
Feral's
the
logic.
Landlord gets put in hospital and loses his memory. And he said, apparently.
And thinks it was a big party.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it must have been a good party or something. Oh, come on. That is so bullshit.
We're talking about the.
This thing. Explanation and like, you know, finish to this storyline was bullshit. Like, I know.
Weren't we talking about the Deus Ex Machina stuff the other day?
Yeah.
This is like the ultimate.
Like,
let's just put it in.
Holy crap. How do we actually find a way to wrap this storyline up? Okay. He gets amnesia. Because amnesia fixes
everything.
No, it's
not even that he has amnesia. He turns into a different person. Even if he is an asshole, right? So if it blew up, he would just blame other people. There's no way he would be like, oh, that was a great party. Like, why would he think that? Doesn't make any sense. But okay. So I do love this, though. How when we see Joe and what's happened to Joe, how good is the acting of Mig in this whole bit, in this whole scene where Joe walks in and sits down in a full body cast? So funny.
It's awesome. He looks like a mummy, as they reference. And he's walking. He goes to sit down on the couch and he has to hold his arms out in front of them. And the only part of his body that's visible is his face. So it's fantastic.
Yeah. And then every time, like, the ferals, like, jump on him a little bit because Lenny and Robbie are going to go back to their place and no one can look after Joe. So the ferals say that they can look after Joe. And each one that jumps on him, sort of, he kind of goes, like he moves a little bit because he's getting hurt.
It was a way to get him to give up the key to the shed.
Yeah, so that they can get back into the shed, which they're super happy that they are back in the shed. Now, I'll let you take away the last bit, Swinney. So, like, if you diligently watch the credits, there's big payoff at the end of the episode.
Okay, no, I want to hand this to Mike, considering he said he watched the credits.
True. So, this is the payoff. This is the second funniest part of this episode.
So, this is where Modigliana basically does what my dream has always been, and that is to wear a bikini on live television. So she sold herself on an ad that was previously mentioned, the ad for Are You a Fat Cat, the anti-fat cat pills for a podgy pussy. And she was the
you just have to say the tagline.
Well, yeah. So she was the model for it. I thought it was an awesome way to wrap the episode up.
All right,
and do you remember what other link this has too?
No, what?
Go on, Swinney.
Okay, so this is, well, Mike, you alluded to it earlier. It's the fact that, you're not talking about the money. You're talking about the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book, correct?
Exactly. Yes. It all makes sense now.
Sorry, yes. I was a bit distracted because I was searching for something, so I didn't actually hear the last part of the conversation. But I'll explain afterwards. So yeah, the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book, the one page that we've seen other than the cover, had. Something like fashion titbits on it with Modigliana wearing the bikini.
Titbits. Not tidbits, titbits.
By the way, talking about Mike's dream of wearing a bikini on live TV, have you guys ever heard of Lady Beard?
No.
Lady Beard is this white dude that's really famous in Japan for dressing up in female cosplays. And he has this, he's like got a really, really, like, he's really hairy and he's got this massive beard and he always wears pigtails. Now, I'm trying to put the link into the chat, but for some reason our chat window doesn't have the bloody thing on the side.
Really? You reckon?
I don't know. I've got it open before. So if you guys
spoken about this so many times.
If you guys follow that link. No, it's.
Oh, this guy, yes. This guy's awesome. I've seen him.
Yes. So if you follow that link, Mike, to me, that is what you should be doing with your life.
Yeah. Damn it, I missed out on my life. I could have been doing this.
This guy has, like, you know, photo shoot DVDs and everything. I reckon this guy's hilarious.
No.
Yeah. I reckon this guy's hilarious.
It's quite creepy, man.
He's even in, like, a metal band called Lady Baby.
Oh, God.
The things people
Anyway.
Die.
just wrong. It's just wrong. It would look like this, though, if you did it, Mike.
It would look exactly like
You'd
this.
You'd have, like, a million Instagram followers and no job. Although, you know what? With the modern, you know, workplace practices where you work, they probably would laud you. They'd probably, like, say, what a great example.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. So let's launch into ratings for this episode, and then I think you've got a special segment, Swinny.
I do.
So we'll do ratings first.
Yep.
Cool. Who wants to start the batting?
You can go first, Swinny.
Okay. Come on, that really threw me. I thought you were talking to me, and then you said Swinny, and you said Swinny. Okay. So go ahead, Mike. What do you give this out of 10?
Okay. I give this episode. Well, oh, you said Mike. Jesus. Sorry.
Go, Mike.
Okay, say it simultaneously.
Okay.
That didn't work. All right, you go so, the real Mike. Not
okay,
fake Mike.
Okay, pseudo Mike.
Wait, he already said it. I heard it.
I give
he
it an eight.
An eight? Yep.
Yeah, holy well, you guys crap. Didn't like it.
No, I like
an
it.
An eight?
That's an eight.
An eight. An eighth.
Yeah, an eight.
All right. Real Swinny? Not the fake Swinny?
I give this episode a six.
A six?
Ooh. Okay, well, what? I had it as a six until the final scene.
Yep.
With Moddy in the bikini.
And then he gave it
which
a ten.
Made me laugh. And I gave it a seven.
And a ten.
So a seven. Seven average. So this is actually the best episode of the second season so far.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Say it is,
even though I was sort of like, it's okay. It's a pretty good episode, but I don't know. It still hasn't reached the highs of, you know, last season. There was a couple of episodes back in last season which were hilarious, so
there were a couple of
standout. Actually gave it almost the same rating. Almost the same rating as the first episode when I look back, actually.
There were a couple of standout moments like Keith and Darren and, you know, the Medigliana stuff. God, I couldn't say a name. Medigliana stuff. So
yeah. No, I agree. And that's what. And it wasn't a bad episode otherwise. So I think those couple of factors just elevated it a bit. So, all right. So let's launch into your segment. It's the Swinny Games section.
Games section?
I don't know.
What makes you think I've got a game to play?
I don't know, the Swinny surprise section.
Okay, guess what? It is actually a game.
Yay!
But after... I wanted to basically... We've talked about the place in time that this show is, you know? It's set in... This is 1995, the previous season 94, and we've talked a bit about, I guess, how the world was back then. But what I wanted to do is cover, you know, a couple of things to essentially say what was going on in 1995... Now, before I get into it, Mike, can I ask, where were you in 95? Were you in Australia at that point?
No.
Okay. So, that means that one of the things that I've got, I will admit, because it's a bit more Australian. So
it's okay, I can include it. I mean, I did pretty good in the quiz the other week, didn't I?
Okay, all right, I'll include it. It'll put you at a disadvantage, potentially, but if you get it right, that's fine. Okay, so
give him an extra point if he gets it right, all right? Yeah.
Some major events that were going on in 1995. We had Ebola. We had Syria.
Again.
Stuff going on. We had Clinton's now.
Cut this Ebola.
That's 20 years ago. We're talking... It's alarming that's how awesome. Similar it is. It's crazy.
Ah, Monica. And there's also it was like yesterday. Wasn't there?
Sorry, Monkey Boy?
No, I think there was a bush as well.
Yes. So basically we had
no bush
the
for
Oakland...
me in 1994.
Oh, God. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway.
Okay.
That's my bush.
We've alluded to this before, but we had 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing. That was in 1995.
Timothy McVeigh.
We had terrorists releasing nerve gas in the Tokyo subway station. And we had O.J. Simpson being found innocent. So, some major world events. Now, we had the World Wide Web coming into play and becoming publicly available
to
a lot
of people. 95, yeah.
Obviously, 95. Windows 95
came
out.
Are you asking us questions? Yeah.
No.
Is it how many?
That's
interesting.
The state of the world. Yeah. So, it gets into, it, you know, creates a sense of place of where
is
this
it helicopter?
Was released. Okay. So some of the movies, just to make you guys feel old, that came out the same year as this.
Yeah.
We had Toy Story. Okay, Pocahontas.
Wow. Whoa, double wow.
Pocahontas.
I remember that. I remember that. That's
good. That's good. I'll pay that. That's good.
What a pedo.
That's a callback for the fans. Yes. That's a callback for the fans.
We had Batman Forever, Jumanji, Die Hard with Vengeance. So, man, this makes me feel old because these... Oh, my God. To think that these are 20 years ago makes me feel so old. So what I thought...
Well, yeah, Pulp Fiction was the year before.
Yeah, what I thought I would do is look at some music and test you guys to see who has a better understanding of hits from 1995. So
also, like, okay. you looked at music. Go on.
So, you looked at music. Looked into music, okay? Context. Okay. So, the way this is going to work is I'm going to start saying the lyrics of a song.
Okay.
And you guys have to buzz in and essentially give me not only the song title, but the artist. So, essentially, the way it will work
is
you will get a point for the song title and a point for the artist. And some of them may even have a bonus point, a separate question that I'll ask.
Okay.
So, can you guys give me your buzzers? What are your buzzers going to be?
That's it. That's my buzzer.
Come on. Was that yours, Mucky Foy, or was that Mike?
Yeah, that was mine.
All right. All right. What was yours again, Mike?
So it's
that really threw me. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, when you buzz in, you've forfeited your chance. So essentially, the way it works is some of these.
When you buzz in, you forfeited.
No. It'll let me explain, Muggy Boy. Is that as I go through, some of the songs will get easier to pick up because it'll hit certain lines that you'll recognize. So, if you jump in too early and you don't know, you could have forfeited your chance because I'll keep going till the other person...
Okay,
right.
Yep.
All right, the first song, this was the top of the RE charts for 1995, so the number one song of the year.
Yep.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
As I walk through...
Sex! It's Gangsta Paradise by Coolio.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, all right. Mike, awesome. You get 2 points. Now, the bonus question, Mike.
Yeah.
What film...
Dangerous Minds. This...
Oh, my God.
No.
Holy crap.
It's as if you've seen the answers.
And he didn't even have a chance to Google that. He was so quick.
I'll slip you the 50 later. So.
Okay, all right. Song 2, this came in as ARIA charting of number 3. There used to be a graying tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remained a drug, that's the high and not the pill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine...
Sex! It's Seal...
Correct.
Yeah, you're right.
Far out. Kiss from a recovery. Rose?
What did you say, sorry?
Kiss from the Rose? Kiss from a Rose?
Correct.
Woo!
Okay.
Oh, wow. You're dominating
here. I know. 5 points in. Okay, bonus question.
Uh-oh.
Which film was this song on the soundtrack for? By the way, you're not going to get this. Okay, what I will say, I was actually going to explain it if Mike couldn't get the song, is that I will be able to give the other person a chance to fill in the other answers.
All right. So, and I get points, right?
Yes. So, Mike, do you know?
No.
Okay, Monkey Boy.
Batman Forever.
Correct. By the way,
boom!
Awesome soundtrack, Batman Forever.
Yeah, it actually is. It's way better than the movie.
Hey, but Batman Forever is otherwise known as the better Joel Schumacher Batman film, so...
The better of the worst.
Okay.
The less worst.
Song 3 we have. This came in as...
And what's the point so far? Because Mike's dominating.
Mike is 5 and you're 1.
Oh, shit.
Okay. No, this came in as RA chart number 7, and it goes... Another head hangs lowly, child is slowly taken, and the violence cause such silence, who are we mistaken? But you see it's not me, it's not my family, it's in your head, in your...
Sex!
I'm not gonna get over that. Mike.
It's the Cranberries. Zombie.
Correct.
I've got the
crap.
Album. It's the one with the pink cover and shit. I still have the album.
You've got... This is like the era for Mike. I barely know these songs.
And, you know, I thought for some reason Monkey Boy would have the advantage of this, but...
Oh, not. I would have put myself as short odds to win this. Okay. I'm getting destroyed.
All right.
I would bonus have too, to be honest.
Bonus question. Do you know the meaning of the song?
Oh, what? No. Wait, hang on. Let me just guess.
And spoiler alert, it's not about zombies.
No, I thought it's, I don't know, mindlessly falling in love? No?
Incorrect. It's about two boys that were killed in an IRA bombing.
Oh, wow.
I knew that. I was going to get that bonus question.
Sorry.
No, I was kidding.
Dude, I'm just assuming Monkey Boy.
I think a point should go to Monkey Boy if he did know that.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Because I didn't know that.
No, I
so
didn't.
If you know.
All right, let's move on.
Thank you. Let's move on. I appreciate your honesty for your
point
honesty.
Point for honesty.
You get a point.
Yay!
Sorry, Mike. Okay, number four. This came in as RHR at number 15.
Yeah.
No bonus question for this one.
Okay.
Sally called when she got the word. She said, "I suppose you've heard about Alice." While I rushed to the window and I looked outside, but I could hardly believe my eyes as a big limousine
I know the name of this song. I know the name of it.
It's buzzer like an orangutan or something.
Sorry. Sex! It's Living Next Door to Alice. But I'm trying to remember the name of the author. The writer.
This one has actually probably a couple of answers for both, because there's been quite a few versions.
It's in the back of my head.
It's in the back of your head.
Yeah, it's the back of my tongue, you know what I'm trying to say.
Alright, that's it. You forfeit it.
I know it's the Alice song, but I don't know who the artist is.
Okay. By the way, this version I'm referencing that was in the RHR in 1995 is actually not called Living Next Door to Alice.
Oh.
So you didn't get a point, Mike.
What is it something like Who the F is Alice?
Correct, Monkey Boy.
Nice.
Woo!
That the original song that
but
this is based
artist,
on is called Living Next Door to Alice.
Ah, okay. Well, I thought it was called the same thing. Jeez. But it's funny because I don't remember the original song. I remember the one where he goes living, Who the is Alice.
Yeah, it's called Who the F is Alice.
So that was an older song.
Purely guessing that it's called Living Next Door to Alice.
Oh, it actually
the original
is,
song.
Yes. I remember the original song. It's like the 60s or
so
70s.
So who's the artist?
The artist that from the one in the RHR was the Steppers that did the dance version. That was tough.
I'd never guess that.
By the way,
in a million years.
Did you guys know that Kevin Bloody Wilson, an Australian comedian, made a parody version called Living Next Door to Alan, which was about apparently about an Aboriginal family living next door to Alan Bond?
Yep.
So,
Jesus.
I remember hearing
that. I don't even want to know what that's about.
Dangerous. Dangerous territory.
That
right
is dangerous.
There.
Okay. Mm. Oh, by the way, the Smurfs made a version.
What?
All right.
They use the melody. They use the melody. Okay. All right. So, a couple more.
Okay.
The next one is
Silver Chair.
Sex. No.
It's Silver
That's
Chair.
Actually not what it is. That's not what it is. So, but it was on my list and I was looking at considering it. So.
And you've already buzzed in, Mike, so I free reign at this one.
No, he's gonna choose. Okay.
Come on, let's go.
The next
let's
one
go,
came in go. At RHR 20 and it goes, "I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theatre?
Does she speak? Sex! I used to cut myself to this song back in 1995. It's Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
You ought to know.
Correct.
I'm such an emo kid.
Monkey boy, what's going on?
Dude, this guy is ridiculous at this.
Okay.
This is incredible.
Dude, these are like the songs I used to listen to.
I'm such unveiling.
An emo kid.
Bonus question. Who played lead guitar on the song?
Oh, I wouldn't know. Was it Dave Grohl? I don't know.
Monkey Boy, do you know?
Pass.
That's a good guess, actually. That's a good guess. I'm going to say Kurt Cobain, even though he's dead at this point.
No, it was Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Eventually, right, guessed right. That after about 100 years.
Well, I think Mike's in an unassailable position now, points wise. Okay. So we need like a points multiplier.
I'll speed through a couple. All right.
I assume the next one's going to be Australian because you said there was an Australian one.
No, Who the F is Alice is Australian.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Australian.
Yep.
So,
all right, let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
When she's saying that she wants only me, then I wonder why she sleeps with my friends. When she's saying that I like a disease, then I wonder how much more I can spend. Well, I guess I should stick up for myself, but I really think it's better this way. The more you suffer, the more it shows you really care. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
Really? Nothing.
The lyrics actually sound familiar.
I don't listen to the singing as much as I listen to the music.
Boy, I'm
can you hum it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. No, so it's got to be something that you used to like in the 90s. Monkey Boy would also
say
know
it again
about.
From the start. Say it again from the start.
When she's saying that she wants only me, then I wonder why she sleeps with my friends. When she's saying.
Oh, this is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Offspring.
Correct.
Oh, Jesus. I'm just trying to think of the song title. The more you suffer, the more you show you really care.
Alright, your time is running up.
I'm trying to think it. Oh, Jesus, I can't remember.
It's alright, I don't know either, so.
Okay, it was Self-Esteem.
Oh my god, this is terrible.
By the way, trivia, it's from the best album of all time.
Oh.
No.
Sonny Costello.
I like that that call.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, I think let's end this because I'm getting destroyed right now.
One more.
Okay.
Silverchair. I don't know how to do this one. Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, brother.
Oh,
so
stop.
Can you.
Blah, 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 stop the sax.
Who got in first?
I don't know how to do the give that to because he buzzed in your intro.
I think we both know it.
Okay.
Well, no, I actually don't know the song. It's like the scat man. And then I don't know what the song's called. Like the scat branch or something like that.
I thought it was the actual name that he sings, like the ski. Buddy bobbity bob bob.
Oh my god!
Isn't that the name of it?
Oh my god! Alright, let's say Mike's won this regardless, okay? But.
Yeah, agree.
Alright, it's by Scatman John, and the song is Scatman bracket ski ba bop ba da buda bop or something.
How do you know this, Mike?
I know that the song had like a weird name because I remember seeing it on Rage or some shit. Obviously not back in 1994, but like years later when it was showing. And it had like the whole skettily bobbly bobbly bop bop thing on it.
What I want to understand is you watch an episode like half an hour before we record and you don't remember anything of it, right? And you remember all this detail from 20 years ago.
No, see the stuff that he mentioned, so stuff like the Cranberries, I used to listen to a lot. Alanis Morissette, I used to listen to a lot. I think he just coincidentally put the songs that in the 90s I really enjoyed.
Okay.
And when I was a kid and I still had, you know, a mind that was willing to sponge information, I wasn't, you know, hooked to games and drugs and hookers and shit.
All right.
Drugs.
Cool story, bro. I've got a final bit of trivia. about Scatman John. Apparently, he was really popular in Japan, so popular that he was used on phone cards and Coke cans.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, this is a direct quote, I put in, you know, parenthesis, from Wikipedia. Yeah. Sadly, Scatman John died at his home in Los Angeles on December the 3rd, 1999, at the age of 57. Now, this is straight from Wikipedia. Mm. He was cremated and his ashes were scattered at sea near Malibu, California. And in Wikipedia, it actually has the word scattered in quote marks.
No.
It does. Go on Wikipedia for Scatman John. It has that.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Congratulations,
oh,
Mike.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, good work, Mike. You destroyed
First
me.
Thing I've ever
destroyed
won.
Me.
I didn't even. Such a sad I luck. Didn't even get to my final one, which is Cotton Eye Joe. I'm
oh, I would have guessed that one too.
All right, Mike. What nationality were the members of Rednecks?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
What?
Rednecks.
What do you mean?
Rednecks were the band that made Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh,
see, you
okay.
would have had
see,
no
I
chance
even
on
that,
that, monkey boy Christ.
I know. Right. I don't.
No, but they had a funny accent. They had a fucking accent, so I'm guessing that they were like Scandinavian.
Yeah, they were Swedish.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
There you go. Mark. Boom.
That's it. Monkey boy wins.
So I get the points. Yeah, they don't matter.
10 points in a row.
You know, if you ever play a game of pool and someone pots in the black ball and then you just play to the finish, you won the after game,
yeah.
Okay?
I won the game that didn't matter.
All right, awesome.
Oh, God. Okay, that was terrible. All right, thanks for that game.
That was
fun.
Really good. No worries.
Like from my perspective. Just the mic the mic section. Okay, so that wraps us up for this week. That wraps it up. You put a spell on me, man. That wraps us up for this week. But next week, episode 5 is Rent a Pet. But goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.